Yeah.
Welcome back, movie fans! Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
And we are three dads watching movies from our youth that we remember with so much nostalgia.
Well, this is all the nostalgia.
You're better at Sean Connery.
Much better.
It's Sean a work Connery. In progress.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's hard. He's hard.
He is.
Yeah.
Like rock hard, like rippling muscles hard.
In this movie, yes, this is like peak Arnold.
This is peak Arnold.
This is, I just won Mr. Universe, and I guess I'll be a movie star,
Arnold. I'm pretty sure we get a scrotum shot on this one, don't we?
No, not quite.
When he first appears?
When he
first appears and he's walking on the street towards Bill Paxton, you do get like some shadow sway.
Oh, that's right. Bill Paxton's in this.
Yep, Bill Paxton. For a
brief
moment.
Brief pre-death.
Yeah. He always dies, though, right? Like, that's his thing.
He's been killed by a predator, an alien, and a Terminator.
Yeah.
Yep, a xenomorph.
Oh, excuse me.
Let's just make sure we're getting our villains correct here.
Absolutely.
Right.
Villain.
Misunderstood.
How dare you, sir?
That's racist. That alien was just living its life. It didn't ask to be there and is making the best of a situation with a hostile environment.
I'm xenomorphobic.
Wow. We'll talk about that later, Peter.
I know. It's a lot of ammunition for my my therapist.
We do have a winner coming up tonight. This is like Babe Ruth pointing. This is a homer.
This is like when we watch Predator.
Yeah.
Well, I think
so. I think.
The hard RoboCop. Thing is about watching Terminator is that, I mean, there's been so many movies, comics, video games. Like this was obviously sequels. Very popular movie. But one of the things that I think is worth looking into is, I mean, does this hold up? This takes place in 1984. So... things are a
was
lot
filmed
different.
In like 1982 or 83.
You know, we enjoy it because we know how it all started. I mean, and this led to T2, and then there have been many since then. And I really enjoyed the last Terminator movie that came out, which I feel is a true third movie.
I did not see anything after Terminator 3.
Well, you saw like Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. Woof.
Yeah.
And then you saw Terminator Salvation.
Nope,
woof.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
I did. I actually didn't see them. Any of the.
The last one I felt was very good. This was, again, you know, brought in by James Cameron. I enjoyed it. But
okay.
It brought in a bunch of modern stuff. Like, but the whole point is that this is the original. This is the, you know, unstoppable killing machine in 1984. So does it hold up? And one of the things, too, is that I've always contended was that Terminator is a love story.
You tried to convince me on that one the other day.
And the argument is, and it's not mine, I've read it somewhere, but the argument is that this is a
did
man.
Did you read it on the interwebs?
I did, and everything's okay. True there.
Everything's so true on the interwebs.
The theory
Neil's
is,
just sitting here going, I can't wait to hear this. This is going to be so stupid.
It's a love story because he travels through time to face, leaving behind everything he could possibly have in the future after winning the big war. He travels back in time to protect this one woman against an unstoppable machine.
Or he was sent back in time on orders to impregnate the woman because John Connors knows that Michael Biehn is his father.
So
and so
he doesn't know because he
immediately
says,
I need you to go boink my mom.
He does. See, this is showing that you
all
have not
the hands
been,
in the room shoot up.
Yeah. Point of order. We know for a fact that he does not because he was never told that. What we instead have is John has to send his father, whom he does not even get a chance to really know, back in time, knowing what will happen so that everything can happen. Like, it's pretty dark. Like,
we'll see.
I'm
not buying another
that's
love
why,
story.
But that's something like I want for us to answer is, well, you know, how do we feel about, you know, Sarah Connor and Linda Hamilton's role, and you know, when they do connect, is it passionate, like desperate cry into the night, you
or
know,
is it
against,
Stockholm Syndrome,
or is it just movie guys had to write that somehow people have to have sex in a movie? So I mean, there are things we can address.
Yeah.
Besides
yeah, people have to, yes,
besides our normal three questions,
which are Neil,
Which are, and first of all, you're on point. This is a great movie, but it's also, I'm looking forward to podcasting it, because we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yes. That's so much
I'm not about. Changing the subject at all.
Not buying any time at all for someone to come sweeping in to rescue you from this unstoppable machine.
No. Oh boy, look at what time it is. Is ice cream melting yet?
Yeah, no, I'll go get that right now, as soon as we get these three questions, Neil.
Oh, those three questions. Three, yeah, question we got question one. We know that.
Yeah,
it's
what
followed
was
by
it?
Question two.
What was
only leaves us with question three.
Three are the questions that shall be answered. Not five, not
no,
four.
No more, no less.
No more, no.
It's like watching, like in 21 Jump Street, Channing Tatum having to figure out the Miranda rights. You have the right to be an attorney. Or, son, did you just say you have a right to be an attorney? Well, he is right. You do have that. So, Neil.
He ain't wrong.
So, question one.
Question wrong. Does it hold
question
up?
Wrong.
But he's right. That is question one.
Does it hold up?
Yeah. Should it be remade, rebooted, recycled, removed from the earth? Or were there any others? I think you guys came up with a couple
recycled,
more.
Recycled.
You get the point.
Rejected.
Renamed.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We've had a lot of time.
Yeah. And then question three. Do we have our children watch it as reward or punishment?
See? You can do geez. This. I don't know why you're so scared.
They're there. They're there. Well done.
You turned the page.
No, it's sweatier than a Dead Before Daylight lobby.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Dad's Movie Night brought to you by Dead by Daylight. Dead by Daylight, when you want to play the killer or run away from the killer, Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight, if you want to cheat at a video game just because you can, Dead by Daylight.
Dad's Movie
also
Night.
True.
Also true. All right, let's go get some ice cream, let's go get some whiskey, and let's watch this movie.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally down. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't want to prolong this anymore. So you guys know, you should pause the podcast right now and get some ice cream.
Yeah, definitely.
Get some whiskey, get a notepad, and write all this shit down, and it's going to be great. And then just start practicing talking in an Arnold voice for the rest of the movie. Just say, I'll be back over and over again.
I'll be back.
I start to feel like Beavis when we do the soundtrack.
Yeah. That's terrible. I'll have everyone know, I have a version of the Terminator theme song on my workout list.
I bet you do.
I do.
Yeah.
There's sometimes you just, you know, in their shower and all that steam comes up. And
I don't
you just,
need the, can you please stop?
You pretend that you're Arnold Schwarzenegger rising up from the crater. It's awesome. Try it sometime. Especially with that music playing. Anyways, I've gone too far. Let's edit that out.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yes, we are all the way back with baby back ribs. No.
It would be funny if Arnold Schwarzenegger was shilling baby back ribs.
Of course he would. Nah. Of course not. I want my baby. Now I'm doing like a John Malkovich.
Dracula.
I want my baby back ribs.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is Dracula. That would be awesome.
Oh, it would. No. I think they were all surprised that line caught on. Like, none of them expected that to be the catchphrase from the movie.
I don't think there's any catch. Like, he has, what, 14 lines in the whole movie?
And none of them are terribly memorable except for fuck you, asshole.
Or get out.
But he somehow, like, that stuck and then just made it a thing. Mm-hmm. But also, it was really funny because he says, I'll be back, and then smashes a car through the whole scene.
Oh, that
scene.
Poor police officer. Like, they actually
Which
see
one?
The dummy that, like, gets slammed. The amount of, like, poorly controlled dummies and crashes in this movie was, you know, above the over-under that you would normally see in a movie.
There was quite a lot of dummies.
A lot of ragdolling out there.
Big part of the budget, yeah.
Yes.
Half ragdoll.
So, two-sentence synopsis, shall we? Shall we, shall we?
Sure. A Terminator, a, you know, unstoppable killing machine from the future vows to be back, and indeed he comes back for several more movies.
I like that. Finn.
Yep. It's an inspirational tale where part boy, part machine chases his dream. And he never gives up. Because he never gives up, he gets so close. And he still gets crushed in a hydraulic press. But still, he believed in himself the entire time.
Yeah, just
motivational tale.
Chasing that dream.
Relentless.
All right, Pete, it's your turn. Tell us where we are.
I'm going to try.
Are we in a world?
We are most certainly in a world where a son has to send his own father back in time to impregnate his mother with him, just so that he can grow up and save the world by sending his father back in time to impregnate... Oh, God, we're in a catch-22.
It's a time loop.
Finn.
Yeah, anything with time travel is a little tough.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like a...
Timelines. It's the MCU. Yeah. Shared universe.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they do talk about it in other movies because they made a bunch of... I don't think we mentioned that.
Did they make other movies?
Apparently they made other movies.
Yes. Yeah. Did they come back? Were they back?
There was a lot of coming back over and over.
Over and over again. This was a lot of fun. I haven't had that much fun, well, with a good movie in a while. This movie was solid. Like, this is when Cameron was really stretching his legs.
And spreading his wings. And showing a lot of shots of feet crushing stuff.
Yes, you know, lots of futuristic skull crushing going on, much in the Cameron mode you would find. But
portfolio.
Yes. This is like, the practical effects of this were awesome. But like well-timed. And I think, Neil, you had said it earlier, just with the budget he had. This is before he... How did you say it? Like, the
unlimited... The last time he didn't have unlimited dollars.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You mean Avatar money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he had fuck money. You asshole money.
Yeah. We're going to film this at the bottom of the ocean. What? We can do this now.
Yeah.
We're just going to build a bubble under the water.
In fact, we're going to hire Daniel Day-Lewis to play a planet in another part of the galaxy that has a mineral on it called unobtainium. And that whole planet is Daniel Day-Lewis just practicing for a role as a Earth God for an upcoming MCU that he didn't get the part, actually. Kurt Russell got the part.
I was saying, like, that was Kurt Russell.
I know. He didn't even get the part, but he was that committed to doing it.
Yeah, I'd say all the dollars were on the screen in this, and he was looking for love in all the right places here.
Yeah, it was money was well spent.
This was a horror movie.
Yes.
This was a straight-up horror movie. Kind of in the same vein as The Fly, as horror. The original Fly, the Jeff Goldblum Fly.
Wait, the original Fly? You mean black and white Fly?
No, not... Help me! No, not that one.
Not that one. Well, and that's why, like, it really is a terrifying vision to see this unstoppable machine just be relentless. Like, no matter what...
Almost as relentless as the synth?
Almost. It's like he was powered by synth. But Kyle Reese even says, like, with these weapons, I don't know. Like, he doesn't even know if he can stop them. Like, it is bad odds. And yet, he still chose to go back and take this mission. He volunteered to meet the legend.
He was groomed. Let's be real here. He was groomed for this job.
Well,
he was convinced before he ever met her that he was in love with her.
I disagree.
Come on. Like, the picture?
Yeah, because that's his dad. Like, I had this real problem. Like, it was really sad to know that, like, John Connor meets his dad, who is just some young soldier, and can't, like, ever talk to him, can't share, can't be like, hey. Like, he has no
connection
to this man who is so important, and he has to keep distant, but at the same time, he knows he has to send him back to be successful. That's weird and a lot of weight to put on yourself and have to carry as a burden.
Now, to be fair, though, like, the world is also already ended. And, like, they're on the edge of annihilation. I think at that point, the whole point of the story is, you know, we were winning, we were about to, but they... Skynet sent back, or Cyberdyne sent back this Terminator to destroy past Sarah Connors. John didn't have a choice at that point.
Well, I mean... That's why, but like he knew that was coming. He knew that this was the end game, and that he was gonna have to send his dad back.
So if he knew all of this stuff beforehand, do you think he would like place bets every once in a while? Like, yeah, I bet you, I know what's gonna happen. I know what's gonna happen.
You think he would have gone Biff Tannen?
Bet with what?
Biff Tannen.
Like, the only thing.
2022 World Series champions.
The only thing he knows is that at some point there's going to be nuclear winter, and that he's going to be responsible for leading a resistance. That's all he doesn't know. Sarah Connor didn't in Recorder. The Buffalo Bills are going to lose their third game by 4 points. Like, she wasn't giving anything useful. She was
underground in Mexico.
Yeah.
Storm is coming.
Yeah. She just hanging out in Mexico, learning how to do soldier shit.
Yeah. So, did the movie hold up for you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Obviously. I will say there are some moments where the age does show.
Well, of course. Yeah.
You know, you have to... Yes, not as bad as Battle Beyond the Stars, but...
This movie is almost 40 years old.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's old.
But it takes place in 6.5 years from now.
Yeah. Well, no, future.
You know, on the other hand...
Yeah. Guys, which is, well, yeah, exactly.
Guys, I don't want to be too topical here, but right now there is a war going on with a...
two nuclear-powered...
Yeah, nuclear-powered countries who... may decide to push that button because one of them kind of be crazy.
Well, I thought you were talking about the Tesla bot Optimus that just debuted.
Wait, what?
Did you guys not see that?
No.
Tesla just debuted their Optimus robot.
Oh, goddamn Tesla.
I thought it can't walk yet.
It had some handlers out there. It's not quite Boston Dynamics, but it also made it look more evil.
Oh.
We still have 6 years.
Boston Dynamics are like dancing and happy robots on our side.
This one had a cane and a walker.
Yeah, this one's like, if you let me go, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, wonderful. Did it have red eyes? Please say it had red eyes.
They all have red eyes.
I feel like deep down. Everyone knows now, when we make robots, guys, no red eyes. No red eyes.
It just seems like,
that's a flag.
It started off with, like, Cylons, and then, Kit in Knight Rider.
Wait, Kit was cool, though.
But he was still part Cylon. I never trusted Kit. I'm telling you right now. Hang on, Michael.
So I always thought that the two movies that I thought are plausible that I don't want to have happen are James Cameron's Terminators and WALL-E. And I kind of feel like we're still on path where...
Both are possible.
Both are running.
Yeah.
Now that would be a cool reboot.
WALL-E as a Terminator?
No. The Terminator thing is like, why do you think the world ended? It wasn't just because of all the garbage that we... put up, like the ship got sent off into space as the last 700 people on the planet because Cyberdyne was after them, and then they can't come back. Like, that just might be an interesting take.
That's fair. I guess, like, what does beg the next question of, can you reboot this? Obviously there have been many sequels, but could you make a true reboot, like this story, like starting from scratch, retell? Soldier from the future comes back to protect the mom of the Messiah against an unstoppable machine.
Would you try to do it retold in today's 2022? Would you try and reboot it 1984?
Gross. There's no reason to reboot. In my mind, no. There's no reason to go back to 1984 and reboot Terminator. Like, that's just silly. I would prefer it to be today and just see how they...
But how would the Terminator be different now with all of the advancements that we've had in electronics and interconnectivity and the interwebs?
Yeah, like, well, they do...
Like, the Terminator would be able to track someone almost instantly via their phone.
They talk about that in Dark Fate.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did it on purpose, but James Cameron kind of lucked out making it when he did, because it was the perfect time where electronics... and things were just starting to come into the mainstream.
You know, you can listen to your Walkman while having sex.
Exactly. But
what a time to be alive.
Yeah, what a time to be alive.
A microchip in a cyborg was so futuristic.
Right.
That it was kind of mind-blowing. I mean, the 80s are the absolute perfect time take place.
In the final scene, there are robots that we are already using, robotic arms.
Absolutely,
to do things like robots are. So you can really believe the story. And even today, an interconnected, AI that controls everything. Like that.
Yeah, you see those Amazon warehouses where there's like robots picking up whatever you ordered and shuttling it over. And I mean,
Evil Empire has started.
I mean, we're not far off. So, but it's true. I think it's a lot harder. Well, again, I wanted to see if Mythbusters could do a whole thing like, well, could
that would have been so cool.
Have survived. I did enjoy that. Like, as we watch the movie progress, the Terminator's skin is now beat up and rotting. Like, the landlord's, what do you got, dead cat in there? Like, the robot is, the chassis, like, the whole robot is doing okay, but it's starting to take hits and, like, become.
You know, that's not, that's something I never really appreciated in previous viewings, is this, that the Terminator isn't an ultimate killing machine. It's a killing machine, but machines wear down when not serviced, not maintained, not properly cleaned after you use them and put away in their dust-free box. You know, it's just, just using our technology here tonight, we've already had several glitches, so to speak. That would be an interesting thing to kind of keep using in a reboot of it. But, you know, just software overload, malfunction, you know, the Terminator drops in. It's like its eyeball.
Because it's got Windows 10 installed.
Maybe it has Windows 95 installed. Maybe the reboot happens in, like, 1992. And, like, it gets hit and, like, part of its eye is Gorilla Glass, but it breaks because it hits on the right corner, Brian.
Yeah.
And falls out of someone's pocket.
While drift biking. That was very James Cameron, I realized.
Yeah. You know? You're a guerrilla filmmaking right there.
So that's the big question is, in today's world, would the Terminator be still like as terrifying? I mean,
I don't think so, because if the Terminator showed up in today's world, you'd instantly have 200 people filming it with their cameras and phones. It'd be all over Facebook and Instagram and TikTok instantly.
Well, but keep in mind, this takes place over just a couple of days.
It's 3 days.
So even like without like, you know, but they'd still have to, one guy, like,
okay, two people named Sarah Connors are killed within 5 hours of each other, and there's only one more left in the greater Los Angeles area. That becomes an Insta story that's picked up by every major news network in the country within an hour.
Sarah Connor would have picked up, like, on Facebook, like, girl, like, someone's hunting you down. Oh.
Well, actually, now that would be an interesting twist on it, is that if the Terminator was somehow linked in on Facebook and was, like, just going through all of Facebook and, like, eliminating Sarah Connors.
Right off the bat, one, the Terminator would be just utterly, like, flabbergasted by the number of, like, ads and likes and, like, shunting.
That's where the glitches come in.
Yeah, that's to be the downfall of Terminator, is that I will hack into the internet and then take over and learn everything. And then at the end, it's just sitting there watching memes of cats.
It's like, maybe I do want to order Amazon Basic Battle Ropes.
So I don't know.
It'd be so hard to reboot this.
I think that in this day and age, the scary thing is not the Terminator. The scary thing is Skynet and really knowing how that works. Because I think it's like they were kind of hinting at Skynet as just being almost like a MacGuffin in this. It's just like, it's a supercomputer. Wow. It does this.
It's got a microprocessor.
It's even more than that. It's like the dark shadow government, like behind the scenes that they just sort of whisper about. We hear things about, but
it's kind of the Wizard of Oz. But I think in this day and age, if you explore Skynet more.
Would you have to like twist it instead of being a relentless Terminator mechanical machine? The Terminators are almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where it's just people that look just kind of like they did with Battlestar Galactica on the Battlestar Galactica reboot, that the Cylons look just like humans, and that it's, you know, assassination type stuff to make it look like accidents and things like that. Well, and Skynet's in control of all of it.
Here's a great way to do it. Have it be, right, so straight where the whole thing is, it's, you know, a computer company on the edge of birthing AI. Like, they believe they have true AI. It is a, they can talk to it, they're running all these tests, and they believe that this is, in fact, AI, and it's ready to launch. And then once it's, they can confirm that the AI is legit, like they can share it with the world, they can upload it to the internet and allow it to access everything and usher in a new age of computer and human relations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's one guy who's like, there's something really weird about this. Like, this, something's not right, and starts digging into it, and it turns into like this whole like, well, is it even an AI? And then what's its motivation? Like, it seems like there's something.
So you're talking about like a movie watching a guy sitting at a computer screen reading millions of lines of code.
No, because it wouldn't be code, but it would be more like,
it would be code.
No, it would be like talking, like you would communicate with it. Like there was that.
Right, but all of the software that's running in the background is all code.
Right, but you wouldn't sit through that and like sift through the numbers, but you would talk, like, for instance, there was that whole big thing in Google about how, you know, some guy claimed that Google had a working AI and had pulled the plug, and they're like, no, it was never working, and he claims it was. Something along those lines, but I would work that angle in and make it until you realize that and have it be a Terminator prequel of sorts, but don't call it that. And then at the end, make the illusion, like you find out that he's been working for Cyberdyne Systems or... So again, you need to add in more to it than that, but have it be...
But
like,
I'm struggling with how you could shoehorn a Terminator into this. It's not... You know, the title of the movie is The Terminator, And Cameron always said that the movie was not about the heroes. It was about the villain. It was about the Terminator itself. This relentless, right. one-track mind-killing machine has this order to go and kill Sarah Connors. And it's a pretty... Aside from that, we don't care how you do it. You just get that shit done. Yeah, we got so close.
He bought so many guns, really used two.
Hey, you can't do that in here. Yes, I can.
Also, we got to talk about, like, that is the worst gun. Like, first off, the 80s, where you could just walk into a gun shop and buy any gun. And literally, Uzi 9mm.
Have you been to Texas?
Yes, but I have not been recently? To gun shops. But then made the mistake of, yes, selling every guns and then just the ammo right there next to the cash register, you know, so you can just...
The 80s were a glorious time, man.
Nothing like, hey, this gun looks really nice. Cool. Is this the ammo for it? Yes, sir. And now I have a loaded gun under your cash register. Ooh, you got me. Oh, you got me.
It's the fifth time this week.
Oh, boy. Oh, Jimmy's got to learn.
That's what he did in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, right? That's what Tuco did, where he kind of like took all the pistols apart and loaded it. And the guy's like, hey, you can't load it here. And he kind of, do you guys remember that scene?
I do.
Yeah.
No, but okay.
We should watch some of those spaghetti westerns. Those are some of my favorite movies.
To discuss, though, I really felt that when, like, Sarah Connor mm-hmm. and Kyle are in the motel room, and she's, you know, like, they're hanging out, and he's checking
So, do you have a girlfriend in the future?
That's not what she said. She's just like, tell me about, like, the women you're from. And he's like, they're good fighters. And she's like, well, did you ever have anyone special, like, anyone? And he was like, no, never. And you realize that he's lived nothing but pain and misery his whole life. He's never had... Mm-hmm. any comfort. He's never had someone care about him. He's never... And anyone who ever did, like, were battle buddies who died.
Well, the point being is that if you get close to someone in the future, they're probably going to die.
Yeah. And you
just... So you just don't.
So it really... It felt bleak, but also it felt like he... Like, it was a really touching moment, like, when she realizes that he's just... He's just this broken guy who has had nothing, like no love, nothing in his life, anything. And here he is just trying to keep her alive, like that she's sort of been the only bright spark in his really dark life. Mm. Like, it was kind of like, I kind of bomb, like that is really touching. Like that is a heartbreaking, and you can see like her sympathy and empathy towards him. It was really sweet. So I kind of dug that. I thought that was romantic.
Oh, you softy.
I am.
You big softy.
Yeah. So anyways, but that's... So I still thought that this movie definitely had some romance to it. I don't think that it was just, you know, wow, let's bang because we have 5 minutes and we haven't had a sex
scene. No, but I do think that...
I think watching the sex scene was unnecessary. I'm sure James Cameron phrased it as... Well, see, what I'm showing here is that the machines, you know, might be relentless, but they can't love and they can't... have that human connection, and this is the most human thing that two people can possibly do.
Probably. And he had a thing for...
Oh, yeah, he married Linda Hamilton.
He married Linda Hamilton. So it may have been one of those, all right, we're going to do the scene again! Yeah,
look, you don't need to ruin, like, the romantic, like, you know, touching humanity moment before the gratuitous sex scene. So, like, I'm just saying.
Just saying.
It held up to me.
All right, then.
Well... Now the big thing, though, is what about kids? Like, when would you show this to them?
Well, there's boobs and pretty... That sex... Yeah, the sex scene is... It's not necessarily super graphic, but it is kind of... I don't want to call it aggressive, but it was... I don't think my 9 and 7-year-old would... I don't know if I'm comfortable with that sex scene with them yet.
Well, this is the first movie I ever saw in my entire life, so...
Boobs.
I just glossed over. It's like, yeah, all right. I don't know.
It's like a kissing scene.
Yeah, they're kissing.
Well, I know my kids would be like, oh, Chris, yeah.
I mean, like, aside from that... first go-to, not the, like, ripping out the eyeball, not the, you know, shooting everybody.
Honestly, this was tame. Compared to modern standards, like,
oh, yeah.
My kids have seen all of the Lord of the Rings, the entire MCU, Star Wars. Like, they've seen Lord of the Rings. They've seen stuff ripped out of people's hearts and heads chopped off. Like,
those are orcs.
So, I'm just saying, like, you know, I understand, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, gratuitous violence today is just like, this was like, bang, bang, and shooting.
It's still, but like that to me, like, is more concerning. Like, two people, like, having a, you know, 24 second love scene, you know, with some nudity.
It felt like 48 seconds.
Well, you know, it was his first time. But that doesn't bug me so much as just, like, the raw intensity of violence. And then, like, again, at the very scene, like, the horror of this mechanized skeleton crawling after them, you know, Reese getting blown up. Like, it's got some really scary moments.
It does.
Yeah. And part of the, like, you, most movies, the hero, and you could call Reese the hero in this, usually the hero lives. And the last thing we see of Reese in this movie is him getting zipped up in a body bag. He did not make it to the end of this movie. And that's actually something that you don't see a lot of. Like, while Linda Hamilton is the protagonist, she's not the hero in the movie.
She becomes the hero.
She becomes the hero in the second movie. And it, the torch is passed
to Edward Furlong? Woof.
Listen, I didn't make the casting choice. But what I'm saying is that this movie is difficult for kids, I would say, for some kids, because you always expect the happy ending hero to win at the end of a movie. That's one of the reasons that we like going to movies, and that what kids really like to see. So it'd be a tough.
Yeah, it's not something like, definitely it's harder for like the younger.
It's kids. Like Rogue One,
but
no one lives.
Yeah,
they all die.
They saw, like, my kids saw Rogue One, but that's also it's still different. You're not watching, like, you're seeing them.
It did. I haven't shown my kids Rogue One yet. It's a little. It was just a straight up war movie. I didn't feel comfortable with yet.
So you guys are talking a lot about watching movies with your kids, and that's why I would want to watch this with my kids, because I don't know how much Terminator's on their radar, but I would want to make sure they saw Terminator 1 before 2, and I would just like to see their reaction, because I have a feeling, unlike us where we saw the trailer, you know, or the second one, he's the good guy, and we knew that, they would know nothing. Can you imagine watching these back-to-back with them knowing nothing.
Oh God!
How watch fantastic would that
and be? Then watching the Guns N' Roses.
Just what a moment, and to be there with
him. I remember you remember that in T2 in that scene.
Yeah.
That moment, like, because all you hear is like the footsteps and the sheer look of terror.
Well, but that's the problem, is the previews told us Arnold Schwarzenegger's the good guy, but if you don't know that, you suddenly realize that this kid is now caught between two bad guys.
Two Terminators, like, with no one to help. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what the fuck are you going to... What's he going to do? And then you realize,
Can you imagine seeing with your kids when they do that for the first time? What a moment.
What a moment. You are an evil bastard, you know? Evil bastard.
So I would say, like, around 12. I feel like 12 is an upper limit. They're aware of like, you know, sex and intimacy. They're more like aware of like movie violence, like and gun violence.
So seventh grade.
So I was 12 in sixth grade.
I turned 12 at the end of my sixth grade year. But
it's kind of like when PG-13 used to mean R. Like, yeah, it's kind of like that.
Rodney Dangerfield's Back to School.
Yeah.
No. Ooh, speaking of, we should do that one of these days.
Someday.
Sam Kinison.
It's October.
That was such a great scene. That is such a great scene.
So yeah, like I definitely think that this.
I want my kids to see this movie.
It's just
like this is part of the American zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. That is, it's really woven in. Like, just even when you say "I'll be back" to someone random on the street, they'll be like, "Yeah," you know.
That's hard, because it'll be like, "Well, which Arnold Schwarzenegger do you think you're referencing?"
That doesn't matter.
Hope that it would be this one, but I bet you someone might maybe be like, "Oh yeah, True Lies," or someone just be like, "Right, Arnold Schwarzenegger's catchphrase from that movie he did
way back when okay, boomer."
Yeah.
But it still holds up well enough, you know. It's still a badass
movie. I don't think there's anybody who's like, "You know what, this movie sucks."
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's fast paced, it's well done.
Is true. The pacing on it was great. It never gave you, and it jumped right into it.
Yeah.
It like, just jumped right into full frontal Arnold. Yeah, it did. It did. Just like Bill Paxton. Well, Bill Paxton.
We're off.
Right there. I think, Pete, you made a point. Like, wouldn't it be cool to see a movie of, like, what the guerrilla fighters were like dealing with HKs and then infiltrators and learn more about that future world?
Yeah, I was... If we were to see a reboot or a true sequel or prequel, like, why don't we start it leading up to the moment when John Connors has to decide... It meets Reese, Kyle Reese.
They did that in Terminator Salvation.
See, didn't see it, didn't care.
No one should have saw it on that movie. It was not good.
Here's a chance to reboot it and do it well.
Well, that's what all these are. Like, all right, we're setting them back in time to get it right this time.
Yeah. You see, maybe we are actually stuck in that loop. Maybe this is real life and we have to see another Terminator movie.
Yeah.
So what are we going to watch next week, gentlemen? Right,
well, we're in October, so that means we got to get spooky.
It's Rocktober. We're going to do Rockstar.
That was a childhood movie, but... That adds merits.
Did it?
I did. I enjoyed Rockstar, but...
You don't like musicals.
Rockstar was with Mark Wahlberg playing...
I know.
Okay, I was like, there's no music. It wasn't a musical. He didn't sing as he was doing normal common day bullshit. He just sang when he was...
Well, that's an opera.
That's a musical. Opera is just when you do it with more drama.
Less walking, more standing. Yeah.
And a nice aria. I think we need to do a horror movie.
Are we going to float down here?
Last year we did Friday the 13th, right?
Yep.
Oh, Kevin Bacon. Dead Bacon.
I think we should do a little more demonic, a little more violent, a little more cerebral.
I don't like being...
A little pain and pleasure. Yeah.
You will come to love the pain.
Yeah, that's right. Hellraiser.
I have very visceral memories of seeing this movie.
It's a visceral movie.
This was when my parents had ripped apart our kitchen downstairs on the first floor and moved the kitchen basically up to my mom's workroom. And so we had a TV up there and like a toaster oven, and that was our kitchen and TV room, and I watched it up there.
Interesting. You moved a kitchen up.
Didn't have much of a choice. We had like... The whole floor's downstairs. It's a long story.
Okay. But, all right. So
I just remember like where I was being scared out of my mind watching it.
I think I saw this like on HBO, like all of a sudden, like maybe we rented or something like that. Cause I just remember like I had heard about it and like, this looks pretty intense. And I was not disappointed as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, dude.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Where were you when you opened the box?
I must have been. Yeah, I must have been right around 12 or 13, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because it had been out way before. Like,
because I was like 12 or 13 when I saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were definitely teens, but I remember, like, this was...
Know that I am going to be scared under a blanket for most of the movie.
Well, that's what I can't tell. Like, I can't remember if it's scary or just, you know...
Gross.
Or like, ooh. Like, because the story itself is... Not super scary, other than the fact that it is a box that opens a gateway to hell and all these, you know,
set up. Oh, is that all?
That's all.
Is that all?
Well, I think the really scary part is the dude who comes back from the dead as like a, you know, corpse, like a skinless
without
corpse.
His skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Well, we'll find out.
Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com and check us out on the Facebook. Right? Any parting words?
Another great night.
This was a good one.
Well, you know what, guys? We'll be back.
I see what you did there.
It's very clever.
That's super clever.
I dug deep.
Good night, everybody.
I wish I knew the Hellraiser theme, but it's all like plinky music. It's like do 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 do